Chapter 2, verse 12. Bible says, "And Abner, the son of Ner, and the servants of Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, went out from Mahanaim to Gibeon. And Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and the servants of David, went out and met together by the pool of Gibeon. And they sat down, the one on the one side of the pool and the other on the other side of the pool. And Abner said to Joab, 'Let the young men now arise and play before us.' And Joab said, 'Let them arise.' Then there arose and went over by number 12 of Benjamin, which pertained to Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, and 12 of the servants of David. And they caught every one his fellow by the head and thrust his sword in his fellow's side so they fell down together. Wherefore that place was called Helkath Hazurim, which is in Gibeon. And there was a very sore battle that day, and Abner was beaten and the men of Israel before the servants of David. And there were three sons of Zeruiah there, Joab and Abishai and Asahel. And Asahel was as light of foot as a wild roe. And Asahel pursued after Abner, and in going he turned not to the right hand nor to the left from following Abner. Then Abner looked behind him and said, 'Art thou Asahel?' And he answered, 'I am.' And Abner said to him, 'Turn thee aside to thy right hand or to thy left, and lay thee hold on one of the young men, and take thee his armor.' But Asahel would not turn aside from following of him. And Abner said again to Asahel, 'Turn thee aside from following me. Wherefore should I smite thee to the ground? How then should I hold up my face to Joab thy brother?' Howbeit he refused to turn aside. Wherefore Abner with the hinder end of the spear smote him under the fifth rib, and that the spear came out behind him, and he fell down there and died in the same place. And it came to pass that as many as came to the place where Asahel fell down and died stood still. Joab also and Abishai pursued after Abner, and the sun went down when they were come to the hill of Ammah that lieth before Gaia by the way of the wilderness of Gibeon." Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for this time that we have to just look at your word and just an interesting character in the Bible, Lord. And Father, I pray that you just give me clarity of thought this morning. Lord, thank you for our mothers. Thank you for my mother and all that she's invested in me in my life. And Lord, I pray that you just bless her. Help all the other mothers here today, that you just be a help them have an extra special day. Help us honor them today, Lord. But above all, I pray that you would receive honor for everything that's said and done today. And if someone comes today that's not saved, that does not know you as their personal Savior, Lord, I pray that they would accept you today and be saved. Lord, thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this is probably an odd passage to pick for Mother's Day. Kind of a violent, some of you are thinking, yeah, I feel that way sometimes. But kind of maybe a violent passage of Scripture here. But I want to draw your attention to a verse here. Somewhere. Okay, verse number 18 is the verse I wanted to draw your attention to. And then we're going to do a Bible study this morning. And I think it'll be interesting and maybe just, and some of you probably knew this, so it's nothing new, but we're going to chase a person through the Bible. 2 Samuel chapter 2, look at verse number 18. The Bible says, "And there were three sons of Zeruiah there, Joab and Abishai and Asahel." All right, so we're going to go to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles, chapter number 2. 1 Chronicles, chapter number 2. And we're going to use our Bibles quite a bit this morning. I want to show you all these different places. So I encourage you to try to go and keep up with that. And we won't look at every passage, but we're going to look at several. 1 Chronicles, chapter number 2. Look at verse number 13. 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 13. The Bible says, "And Jesse," now this is Jesse, oh, you'll find out who here in a second. "Jesse begat his firstborn Eliab, and Abinadab the second, and Shema the third, Nethaneel the fourth, Radai the fifth, Ozim the sixth, David the seventh," David the son of Jesse, okay? So we all know who that is. "Whose sisters were Zeruiah and Abigail, and the sons of Zeruiah, Abishai, and Joab, and Asahel, three." Okay? And then look at verse 17, because we won't come back to this later. "And Abigail bare Amasa, And the father of Amasa was Jether the Ishmaelite. Okay? So this morning, I want to talk about this lady. Okay? Her name is Zeruiah. Zeruiah. Zeruiah, and I kind of titled this, Zeruiah, the mother that raised men. The mother that raised men. And I like kind of studying different things in the Bible about people's lineages and things like that a little bit. I'm not like a scholar of it by any means, but it interested me because Zeruiah raised three boys that were told, Abishai, Joab, and Asahel, okay? And honestly, we're not told much about Zeruiah herself, okay? But we're going to look at her three sons today. Okay, and we're going to look at things that they did. And because children are a product of the parents, I think that we can draw some conclusions about Zeruiah based on her sons. And there's a truth in that also. You know, folks, we're not just, you know, the legacy that we leave is not necessarily who we are, but it's transferred through our children. Okay, you know, a parent is many times known by what their child has done. A parent may be a nameless person. And for in some ways, this Zeruiah is a nameless lady. Okay? But we're going to look at some different things about Zeruiah. So I've got, hopefully I have enough. There's quite a bit, honestly. Zeruiah, her name means wounded. That's what her name means. It means wounded. But it doesn't necessarily mean wounded as in, you know, a wound unto death, per se. This wounded means like if there was a plant that you could get a certain substance out of, okay? Yarrow. I'll just use yarrow for instance. Yarrow, you can use it to treat wounds with, but in order to get that wound treating properties, yarrow must be broken, and that's what this, in a broader sense, this her name Zeruiah means broken. But in order to get a balm out, okay? So it's interesting. That's what her name means. And I believe that the Bible, especially the Bible, and I'm just going to be honest. Me and my wife were not the ones that, you know, had five baby name books. And we went through and looked at all the, you know, the deeper meanings of their name. We just kind of picked ones that we thought were cool and hoped that they sounded good. Or meant something good, you know. But the Bible names very much, many times, were characteristic of who that person was. And Zeruiah, her name means wounded. And I don't know. I don't know how she was wounded, how she was hurt at some point in her life. But that's what her name means. Abishai. Abishai's name means father of a gift. Father of a gift. In a way, it means that he was a generous person, is kind of the connotation there. Joab means Jehovah fathered. Jehovah fathered. And Asahel means God has made. God has made. Those are the three, her three sons, and those are the definitions of their names. I'm going to point out some things this morning. A mother has the opportunity to leave a legacy through her children. All right, you know, everyone knows of the, you know, the D.L. Moody's. But, you know, D.L. Moody had a mother. The Billy Sundays. But Billy Sunday had a mother. You know, and sometimes we, you know, we look at the man, but almost exclusively behind every great man, there was a mother that, or a grandmother that prayed for them, that invested in them. They may have not even had a father. And here's the thing about Joab and Abishai and Asahel, I cannot find their father's name. I can't find it. Okay? I don't know when he died. Obviously, after these three sons were born, he at some point passed away and he was buried in Bethlehem. He was dead before Asahel was killed because it was told that he was buried in the sepulcher of his father, which was in Bethlehem. Okay, so these three boys could have possibly grown up in very much a single mother's home. Okay, but she didn't use that as an excuse. She used it as an opportunity to transfer a legacy through her children. Almost every time in the Bible where these three boys are talked about, they are talked about and their mother is referenced. Joab, the son of Zeruiah. Abishai, the son of Zeruiah. Asahel, the son of Zeruiah. That is their mother was their identifying factor. You know, just like David, the son of Jesse. That was his identifying factor. But for these three boys, their mother was their identifying factor. Zeruiah experienced heartache in her life. We know that she lost her husband. Okay, so at some point she lost her husband. I don't know how else perhaps she was wounded in her life. Maybe she had a lot of hurts that she carried because of, you know, whatever situations were in her life. But she still was able to impact her children in a powerful way. She had lost her husband. She was wounded or hurt, but still was able to influence her children. She lost a son. She lost a son while I believe that she was still probably alive when Asahel got killed. Okay, and she lost that son. We're gonna look at some things that Zeruiah did that I believe that are evident from the Bible. So go back to 2 Samuel chapter number 2. 2 Samuel chapter number 2. And these are just some, I'm just going to pull out some truths that I've seen in this study of this lady and her three sons. 2 Samuel chapter number 2. I believe the first thing that really popped out to me was that Zeruiah developed or trained within her sons a love for each other. A love for each other. Now, there was a lot of conflict in this family that David had. Okay? Now, these three boys, because Zeruiah is David's sister, these three boys are David's nephews. Okay? Amasa, I read verse 17 in 1 Chronicles. Amasa was also David's nephew. All right. And if you know the story of Amasa first started serving Saul and Saul's family. And then he switched to David's side, but Joab didn't like it. And so Joab murdered Amasa. He murdered his cousin. Okay. And so there was some violence within this family. They didn't always get along. But Joab and Abishai and Asahel, you never ever see them fighting amongst themselves. Okay. And I believe that this was something that Zeruiah did. 2 Samuel chapter number 2, look at verse number 22. So Asahel, remember the Bible says Asahel was light of foot as a roe. Asahel was following Abner, trying to catch up with Abner, and he did to his demise. Verse number 22, and Abner said again to Asahel, "Turn thee aside from following me. Wherefore should I smite thee to the ground?" Look at this next verse. "How then should I hold up my face to Joab, thy brother?" You know, Abner, I don't believe for any moment that Abner was afraid of Asahel. He shows no fear here of Asahel. In fact, he shows a lot of compassion. He says, "Hey, quit following me. You need to leave." Now, and I believe that the very physical structure, and we're going to get to this in a minute, the very physical structure of these three boys was very different. Okay? I'm just going to say this. You can't be light of foot as a wild roe, okay, and be a bodybuilder at the same time. Right? I mean, my mental picture is you've got Joab and Abishai, which are fierce warriors, and then you've got Asahel, which is, and this is the way, and we're going to get to this, is the way that God made him. He was more light of stature. He was able to run quickly. But Abner wasn't scared of him at all that I see. He kept saying, "Hey, you need to leave." But there is one person he was scared of. Big brother. He was scared of big brother. And he knew, and I think this was probably reported, "All right, I may beat my brother up, but you don't touch my brother." And that's the way a lot of families are. You know, the siblings may fight amongst each other and knock each other for a loop, but you don't touch my brother. And these are the way these three boys were. And Abner said, "Hey, I'm not," basically he told him, "I'm not scared of you, but I don't want to face your brother." And this comes to fruition in Abner's life. because Abner was also murdered by Joab. Okay? But I believe that Zeruiah developed a love between the siblings. She developed this love between the siblings. She developed this family bond that it pursued them. You know, even after Abner here in chapter number 2, Abner calls out to Joab. He says, "Joab, why are we doing this? Why are we fighting?" And Joab says, "All right, you're right. We're going to turn back." But at Joab, right or wrong, and we're going to talk about Joab here in a minute. I like Joab, but Joab had he was very self-willed in a lot of ways. But Joab was a man's man. You say what you want to about Joab and maybe his failings, but we're going to talk about Joab here in a minute. And Joab was, he was a very wise man in some ways, okay? But she developed this camaraderie, this love between the siblings of Asahel and Joab and Abishai. Secondly, she understood that her children were a gift from God. And the reason I say this is because of Joab's name. Joab's name means Jehovah fathered. Jehovah fathered. Now, I don't know if maybe her husband was sick at this point and they knew he was going to die. But I believe that Zeruiah also knew that, listen, my children are a gift from God. They're a gift. Jehovah fathered. Okay? So she understood that her children were a gift from God. Thirdly, she understood that her children were made differently. And I referenced this just a moment ago. I don't believe Abishai, and you look at their personalities even, Abishai and Joab and Asahel were not the same personalities. But Asahel's name means God has made. God has made. He was the youngest of the three brothers. And I think, you know, she's got two big strapping fellas, and then she's got Asahel. But she also knew that, listen, Asahel can do things that Joab and Abishai can't do. And I believe that was an attribute that she portrayed to her children, that, listen, you don't all have to be the same. God made you differently. You know, and I know this with our children. Our children all have different, way different personalities. Very different. But that's the way God made them. I don't try to make them all the same. And God's not going to call them all to do the same thing. So I'm going to look at, you know, I think when Zeruiah, she had a wrestling match, she complimented Joab and Abishai for, you know, their strength and ability. But when it came to a race, she was still complimenting Asahel, but it was for his strength and abilities. Okay? And I think she encouraged those things in these young men. So she understood that her children were made differently. Fourthly, she raised her children to be loyal. She raised her children to be loyal. Go to 1 Samuel chapter number 26. 1 Samuel chapter 26. First Samuel chapter number 26. We're going to look at verse number 6. Then answered David and said to Ahimelech, there's three men here. Then answered David and said to Ahimelech the Hittite and to Abishai the son of Zeruiah, brother to Joab. And there's another passage, this same passage is repeated, and it mentions Joab in that same passage. But he says, "Who will go down with me to Saul to the camp?" And Abishai immediately said, "I will go down with thee." Now this was a possible suicide mission. They're going down to the man who is hunting them. Okay? So Abishai said, "Sign me up. I'm going, uncle." Okay? Now I don't know what the age difference. They honestly could have been very close in age. I don't know what the age difference is. I believe that maybe they were a little younger than what David was, just because of, and I'll show you here in a moment. Why I believe that. For one, when they died, Joab outlived David. Abishai helped David later. But they could have been very close to the same age at the same time. But Abishai said, "Hey, I'm going down with you." And look at verse number 7. "So David and Abishai came to the people by night. Behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster. But Abner and the people lay round about him. then this is very, this next verse is very characteristic of the sons of Zeruiah. Then said Abishai to David, God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. Now therefore let me smite him, I pray thee, with the spear even to the earth at once, and I will not smite him the second time. You know what he's saying? He's like, hey, I'm gonna kill him. He is after you. You're my leader, and I'll kill him. And listen, I don't have to do it. I don't have to hit him twice. And I believe Abishai. Abishai, we'll find out later, he held, and he was, you notice which weapon he chose? Spear. I think Abishai was a professional spearsman, whatever you want to call him. He killed, the Bible says he killed 300 men with his spear. That's what set him apart in the record of David's mighty men was his spear. And I think he's like, you know, he's holding this spear and he's getting ready to, he's like, hey, all I did, just give me 3 seconds and all your worries are over. And this is, you know what that was? Okay, right or wrong, lifting your hand against God's anointed, that never entered his mind. Because in his mind, who was God's anointed? David was. And he saw somebody that was coming up to threaten the man that he loved. And he said, hey, I'll kill him right now. And I won't, you know, it'll be quick. And we'll probably get out of here. And nobody will know the difference. So Abishai was loyal. 2 Samuel 16. 2 Samuel chapter 16. We're going to be jumping back and forth. There's different stories. When you follow these guys, there's different stories in different places. 2 Samuel chapter number 16. Look at verse number 5. 2 Samuel 16 verse 5. And when King David came to Bahurim, behold, there came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and at all the servants of King David and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. Not a real smart guy. Just say it. All right. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man and thou man of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom, thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief because thou art a bloody man. Then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. That's pretty pretty straightforward in what his thoughts were. Okay? Take off his head. That's what he thought of this man. And all this guy was doing was cursing and throwing stones. And Abishai said, I'll just go take his head off. Don't worry about it. All right. What was he? He was loyal. There was somebody that was attacking his leader and he said, no, we're not doing this. Okay. But David, okay, look at verse number 10. And the king said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord has said unto him, curse David, who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done? In another place, we may read it. He says of the sons of Zeruiah, you sons of Zeruiah are too hard for me. That's what he says. He tells them. He says, you guys, basically he told them, you guys are too violent. That's what he tells them. All right. But they were loyal to their leader. 2 Samuel chapter 21. This is one of the references I was talking about here. Maybe a little difference in their ages. I think I got the right place. Yeah. 2 Samuel chapter 21, look at verse number 15. Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel, and David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines. And David waxed faint. And Ishbibenob, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him, and smote the Philistine and killed him. All right. Here's another instance. You know, Abishai came in. This is the giant killer. This is what he's known as. But there's a giant here that is pretty much going to kill him. That's what the Bible's telling us. But Abishai came out, and the word secure means to almost shelter or help. Okay? He said he comes to his defense and he kills this giant. Loyalty. She raised her children who were loyal. Fifthly, she raised her children who possessed wisdom. Who possessed wisdom. Now, like I said, you can say what you want about Joab. I want to show you some passages here. 2 Samuel chapter number 14. 2 Samuel chapter 14. And we're not going to read this, but we're going to read verse number 1, I think, is probably the only ones. 2 Samuel chapter 14, look at verse 1. This is Absalom, after Absalom killed Amnon, because Amnon took advantage of Absalom's sister Tamar. Okay, so Absalom has killed Amnon, and he. But verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now Joab, the son of Zeruiah, perceived that the king's heart was toward Absalom." All right? Joab, the son of Zeruiah, perceived that the king's heart was towards Absalom. You know what happened here? Joab, for 3 years, Absalom had been gone. Basically because David didn't want to see him. And Joab says, "Hey, I know what the king wants. The king's heart says, I want to be reconciled." And so Joab comes up with this scheming plan of how to reconcile David and Absalom. Verse number 19, same chapter, verse 19. And the king said, this after he talked to this wise woman, and the king said, "Is not the hand of Joab with thee in all this?" And the woman answered and said, "As thy soul liveth, my lord the king, none can turn to the right hand or to the left from aught that my lord the king has spoken. For thy servant Joab, he bade me and put all these words in the mouth of thine handmaid." And it goes on to tell about how Joab goes to get Absalom. And there's only kind of a partial reconciliation. But what did Joab do? Joab was trying to, in wisdom, reconcile two people that were apart. Okay? Now, Joab, as you'll notice later, you all know the story. Joab only had so much patience for this, though. It's like, "I'll reconcile you once. I'll maybe reconcile you twice. But the third time, I'm going to stick darts through your heart." Okay? So, you know, he's kind of testy. But 1 Chronicles chapter number 20. Let's go to 2. Let's keep saying 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 19. We'll go to 1 Chronicles in a moment. 2 Samuel chapter number 19. This is after the death of Absalom. If you look at the last verse of chapter 18, the Bible says, "And the king was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son." Now, David's in mourning here. Okay, and rightfully so. His son got killed. Okay, and I don't know what the line is here because Joab disobeyed the orders of David. David told Joab, Abishai, and Ittai the Gittite, he said, "Do not deal gently with my son Absalom." Well, Joab didn't deal very gently with him. Okay, he got stuck in the tree with his hair. And so Joab came up and he said, "I would have given you, 10 shekels to kill this guy." And the guy's like, "I heard him. We're not supposed to raise our hand." So Joab, all right. But when you read about Joab later on and the reason that Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, had to go kill Joab, the death of Absalom is not mentioned. It's the death of Abner and the death of Amasa that's mentioned. Okay, so I think this thing was kind of, did David want his son to be killed? No, but it was probably the right thing to do. Okay, verse number 19, I'm getting there. "And it was told Joab, behold, the king weepeth and mourneth for Absalom." Now listen to this. "And the victory that day was turned into mourning unto all the people. For the people heard say that day how the king was grieved for his son." So this great victory that now David can come back and be king, and everyone is now ashamed. Okay, look at verse number 3. And the people gat them by stealth that day into the city as people being ashamed, steal away when they flee in battle. But the king covered his face, and the king cried with a loud voice, O my son Absalom, O Absalom, my son, my son. Look at verse 5. And Joab came into the house of the king and said, Thou hast shamed this day the faces of all thy servants, which this day have saved thy life, and the lives of thy sons and of thy daughters, and the lives of thy wives and the lives of thy concubines. And thou lovest thine enemies and hatest thy friends, for thou hast declared this day that thou regardest neither princes nor servants. For this day I perceive that if Absalom had lived and all we had died this day, then it had pleased thee well. You know what you know what he came in and said? Now, I don't know how many guys could have got away with this. But apparently Joab could have. And Joab came in and said, David, we all just risked our necks for you. And you are acting like if we would have all died and Absalom, the one who hated you, would have lived, it would have been a happy day. And you know what? David saw that and he said, hey, you know what? And Joab says later, if you don't go out and talk to these people, it's going to be worse for you now than what it was. All right? And Joab, you know, I see here wisdom. That was a wise thing to do. Okay? And David saw that and he arose and went and sat in the gate. And, you know, he made the people feel like, okay, thank you. You know what he did? He basically was saying, thank you for saving my life. All right. So Joab bringing David to encourage the people. 2 Samuel chapter 20. 2 Samuel chapter number 20. Look at verse number 15. We're going to have to hurry here. There's a man named Sheba, the son of Bichri, who is rising up against David. Verse 14, 2 Samuel 20, 14. And he went through all the tribes of Israel unto Abel and to Beth-Meshah and to all the Berites, and they were gathered together and went also after him. And they came and besieged him. This is Joab and Abishai. They're together here. They came and besieged him. Who's him? This is Sheba, the son of Bichri, in Abel of Beth Meshah, and they cast up a bank against the city, and it stood in the trench, and all the people that were with Joab battered the wall to throw it down. They're going to destroy this whole city because there's one man in there that they want. Then cried a wise woman out of the city. Now it's interesting. Hear, hear, say, I pray you unto Joab, come near hither that I may speak with thee. And when he was come near unto her, the woman said, Art thou Joab? Now, I don't know. I believe that Joab, in some ways, had a reputation of being, he could be talked to. Because why did she call for Joab? Said, I want to talk to Joab. And so Joab, because she didn't say, listen, Abishai and Joab were both there. She didn't say, I want to talk to Abishai. Why? Because Abishai is the guy that says, I'm only going to strike him once. Just let me cut off his head. Okay? I don't think Abishai had much patience with anything. All right? That's just kind of what I read into it. And then she goes on to say, what do you want? And he said, I want Sheba. All right? And in her wisdom, she says, all right, we're going to throw his head over the wall as long as you won't come and destroy our city. Because there's a lot of innocent people here. And Joab listened to this wisdom, and he said, all right, throw it over. And pretty soon, here comes Sheba's head, chucked over the wall, and they walked away. All right? Joab had some wisdom. First Chronicles, we won't go there. I'm just going to, most of you remember this. First Chronicles chapter 21, David wants to count the people. David wants to get a number of the people. And Joab vehemently disagrees with him. And Joab even tells him, he's like, David, why does it matter how many people you have? You have how many people God has given you. And basically it was done in a moment of pride that David wanted to know how many people are under my control. And Joab knew this isn't good. But he still obeyed. All right? He still obeyed to a certain extent. He ended up not counting all the tribes. But God still brought judgment on the land of Israel because of this action of pride. You know, if Joab in his wisdom knew that it wasn't right for them to go count, okay, the people, whatever number we're on. She raised her sons to become men. She raised her sons to become men. They endured hard things. They were influenced by men's men. When David first fled, the group that came to David was his household and his family. This is when these boys first came under with David. They took challenges and conquered them. 1 Chronicles chapter number 11. 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verse number 6. And David said, "Whosoever smiteth the Jebusites first shall be chief and captain." So Joab, the son of Zeruiah, went first up and was chief. All right, first one in the city. That's what David said. First one in the city, first one that smites a Jebusite, he's going to be captain. And David was true to his word. Joab was the captain of David's host. Okay, but he saw a challenge. He took it and he conquered it. Go to chapter number 18. 1 Chronicles chapter number 18. There's several references to this same story. 1 Chronicles chapter number 18, look at verse number 12. "Moreover, Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, slew of the Edomites in the Valley of Salt 18,000. 18,000. Now, this wasn't just Abishai, but the men that were under Abishai slew in this valley 18,000 men. 2 Samuel chapter number 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23. What were you showing us, Brother Chad? She raised her sons to become men. Okay, these were not pansies. They endured hard things. They did hard things. 2 Samuel chapter 23. Verse number 18, we read about Abishai. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 18. "And Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was chief among three. And he lifted up his spear against 300 and slew them. And he had the name among three." I hope you've noticed most of the references we've referenced, it gives the boy's name and it gives the mother's name. Now, listen, it is about the boys. Because the boys, but it's more about the mother. Because the boys were representative of what the mother put into them. Okay? And I want you to remember that. Even though Zeruiah never went out and fought a giant, she raised a son that could kill him. Even though Zeruiah may have not been able to do all that they did, she raised some men that left a legacy. Okay? She raised men who were committed to a cause. I want to bring your mind, you know, Asahel following Abner. He didn't give up just because there was a threat of danger. He had a cause. He had something he was following. He was fighting for. She raised men who were willing to sacrifice. Abishai risking his life to go with David to King Saul. Abishai and Joab conquering. They conquered the city of Rabbah. Okay. And you know what Joab said? He sent a message to David. He said, "David, we've beat this city. We've conquered it. We just haven't taken it yet." He said, "David, I want you to come and I want you to take it. Otherwise, it's going to be named after me." That's pretty selfless. Joab did all the work. Joab and Abishai did all the work. They fought. But then they said, "David, here. All you got to do is walk in. You got to walk in and take the crown off the king's head." And that's what David did. And it was given credit to, but you know who fought? Joab, Abishai, all of his mighty men were the ones that were in the trenches. They were willing to sacrifice. They were willing to give of themselves for a better cause. They were willing, you know, Asahel and Abner. Asahel was willing to give of himself for a better cause. He was willing to sacrifice. Lastly, and we'll be done, and I think this is important to note, she raised men who had faults. Listen, nobody's perfect. Nobody's going to be perfect. And as much good as what Joab and Abishai and Asahel did, they did some things they shouldn't have. But you know what? Listen, just because they did these things didn't change the fact that they were her sons. All right?
And I think as a mother, she still loved him. I think as a mother, that thing is always there. Joab murdered two men. He killed Amasa and he killed Abner. And this was done in basically one was revenge, essentially, and one was just because he didn't like Amasa because he thought he was a traitor. Okay? And it wasn't right. And Joab also later on, I think it was Adonijah, maybe wrong on the name, but he didn't follow Solomon. Okay? He followed another son of David. And it was a poor choice because Solomon was the one that God wanted to be king. And he didn't follow him. Abishai, remember the Bible says, sons of Zeruiah are too hard for me. You know, Abishai would fight at the drop of a hat and he would drop the hat himself. All right? I mean, he did. He was kind of like the old Western. You know, they throw the gun out there and dare him to pick it up. And they know that they're going to shoot him as soon as they pick it up. And that was Abishai. He had zero tolerance for this. But you know what? They were still her sons. And they were, you know, Zeruiah didn't tell Abishai to do all those things. Zeruiah didn't tell Joab to murder those two men. That was one of her nephews. Amasa was one of her nephews. Okay? But at the same time, I guess what I'm saying is, you know, yeah, we're going to mess up sometimes. As children, you know, my mom, she's back in the back. I'm going to mess up. But you know, my mom is still my mom. You know, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that even though sometimes we do things we're not supposed to, a mother says, all right, now you know, I don't know. I don't know where Zeruiah was when all this was going on. You know, I mean, I don't know if she gave him lectures. You know, you shouldn't have done that. You know, you've got this, I picture this big old strapping warrior, you know, and a little lady sticking her finger up in his face. Yes, ma'am. You know, but you know what? Almost every place in the Bible, you see these. And at first I thought, when I first started looking at these three men, I didn't know that Zeruiah was a woman. Because most people in the Bible are referenced by their father's name. And I got studying that, I thought, this is a lady. And then you start looking at her name and she was at some point wounded and her husband is not mentioned at all. And it's like, you know, this was a pretty special lady to be able to raise three sons that all accomplished something great with their lives. And then you start looking at, okay, what did she do to be able to do this? And I'm thankful, you know, we got ladies all over this auditorium. And this is just a Bible study. It's just a, hey, here's a neat lady. Maybe when you read your Bible from now on, you'll think about this lady. But she, you know, the sacrifices that she made so her sons had the opportunity to do what they were able to do. Those sacrifices that mothers make are never, I don't think they're ever appreciated the way that they ought to be appreciated. And so this morning, I just want to say to all the mothers, thank you. Thank you for raising children to serve God. Thank you for raising children. We could go through all this list again that do these things. And listen, don't give up just because, you know, I don't want my mom to give up just because I did something stupid, right? But mothers don't. Mothers always have that thread of hope. You listen to any preacher that comes up and says, well, my mom just kept praying for me even though I did, and they got the list. It was always that mother that came back and said, hey, all right, I love you, knucklehead. Don't do that again. But she still instilled all those things into her. So Zeruiah, the mother that raised men. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time this morning. Thank you for just the lessons that you've taught me. Lord, many, many times we go to the Bible and we can read about these three men in these several books of the Bible and Lord, how you use them. But Lord, I believe that behind them was a mother that cared for them, a mother that nurtured them and trained them and encouraged them. And Lord, thank you for the mothers here this morning that have just invested in their children and have brought them closer to you. And thank you for them. Pray that you just have them have a wonderful day today in Jesus' name.